You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 17th of February 2023, and you're listening to me, Sam Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. We've reached the end of another week. The weekend is almost here, and you're either listening to this on your way home from work, or perhaps in your lunch hour, or maybe downloading it from the archive over the weekend. But we know why you're here today. You're here today to hear from my co-host all the way from Texas, Grandpa Dan. How are you doing, sir? How is life treating you?
I'm in a state of crisis. I'm just having a total crisis with my entire belief system right now. So I'm going to try to get through this show the best I can. As you know, I like being outside. I like being with nature. I think it's important for people to be with nature. And I was outside just the other day, and I was, you know, there were birds singing, and all of a sudden I realized that if you listen to the way these birds are singing, they're actually using a bunch of racial epithets. The racism of wildlife, and I realized how racist this wildlife was, and now I'm just in a total crisis. I don't know what to think, Sven.
The birds were singing racisms at you. And of course, the listeners are thinking, what are they talking about? Well, we're talking about this because, yes, apparently animals are racist. Scientists claim that there are fewer wild animals in neighborhoods where mostly people of color live, and their absence is affecting the residents' mental health. A research study that looked into the genetic diversity of wildlife in neighborhoods across the United States found government rules that previously mandated separated neighborhoods based on race is still having lingering after effects on where the animals choose to live decades on. So it's not just the white people that are moving out from these neighborhoods. It's all the animals have gone as well. And I do wonder if they're saying, you know, this absence of animals is affecting residents' mental health. What sort of animals is it that you're really going to get in neighborhoods? You know, foxes, badgers, I guess, maybe things that are going through the trash cans. Really, are they the sort of animals that you want? And is that really going to be affecting people's mental health? I mean, I think it's a bit of a stretch here to say that the reason why residents of color have a problem with their mental health is because the animals have all left. And the reason why all the animals have left is because the US government used to separate neighborhoods based on race. And this is still having a lingering after effect. I mean, it's something like 50 years, 60 years since neighborhoods were separated based on race. And I guess these animals just haven't quite got the message yet. And they're still refusing to come back. I don't know who the author of this was. I mean, I don't know if it is actually people of color that are calling for the animals to come back, or perhaps it's just some left-wing female author. What do you make of this, Grandpa? Racist animals.
Obviously, the answer, we're going to have to force integrate animals. We have to force animals to live in these vibrant areas. You go into any of these vibrant areas and they tend to look like, you know, pictures of war zones from the Middle East. I've been there. I've been in these neighborhoods before, you know, over my long lifetime. You know, I've had a lot of diverse friends and people I associate, you know, contrary to popular belief. I remember many years ago, I had some black friends and they lived in these neighborhoods. And one of the friends says, you know, we're going to swing by my apartment. I got to pick some stuff up and then we're going to go somewhere. And so I rode with him to his apartment and like, it was like a war zone. I've never seen so much broken glass. You know, and it was just breathtaking to experience it firsthand. Problem is with most of these leftists, these liberal types, is they never go to these actual areas. You know, they sit in their little safe areas and think, man, why wouldn't animals be there? Must be because of racism. They have this ideology that there's no difference between everybody's exactly the same. So if there's less wildlife there, then it must be, you know, you just explain everything. You just explain everything away with racism. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Of course, we know that, say, for instance, here in the States, you know, you're talking about black areas. There tend to be in the very most inner city. They tend to be inner city areas, very most urbanized areas. And I think this study itself is racist. I'm going to explain why. Because, of course, animals aren't adapted to urban life. Animals are going to get pushed out. You have urban sprawl, the animals push out further because they're you know, obviously they aren't going to be a part of urban life. But not all animals. There are animals that are perfectly adapted to urban life. The number one example I can give to you here in the U.S., and you probably don't know what they're called. I don't know if you have them in Britain, but it's the grackle. Let me tell you, the grackle is the ultimate urban bird. You see a grackle. And they're in flocks. You go into the city. It doesn't matter. Grackles. And a grackle can live off anything. You see a grackle, they're surviving in the parking lot. They're over there hopping under cars where it makes a puddle from the air conditioner and they're drinking water. And they're hopping around with a McDonald's French fry in their beaks. They are the ultimate urban bird. See, their study isn't counting grackles. You see, they're not treating all wildlife equally. And why? Why would that be? Let me tell you why it is. Because grackles are black. They have discounted black grackles from their study. So I assert the study itself, Sven, is inherently racist.
Well, I think you brought up a good point there about it being urban areas. I mean, urban areas do tend to have less animals, and black people do tend to congregate in the urban areas because there are more facilities there, more chances of jobs, you've got public transport, all sorts of reasons why people would gravitate towards these urban areas. And then if you look at the rural areas in Britain are mainly 99.9% white. So you have this different way that people like to live. That's why I say I'm not quite sure whether they actually asked the people of colour that were living in these areas whether they thought, you know, the reason for this was because there wasn't so many animals there. But I do think that black people do tend to gravitate towards the urban areas for various reasons, more facilities, basically, I think. Well, the study suggests that areas where mostly white people live have a greater diversity when it comes to animals living in the area. Areas with less diversity could also be having negative effects on both the mental and physical health of the people who live in such, quote, deprived neighborhoods. So they're calling them deprived neighborhoods, I guess, because they don't have so many animals in there. I mean, they're saying that this less diversity with the animals this is now could be having a negative effect. So they haven't actually shown that it is having a negative effect. It is just that it could be having a negative effect. And they're saying here, areas where mostly white people live have a greater diversity. And I think this is just down to the areas where most white people live tend to be in the country, where they've moved out from the city or because of the diversity and multiculturalism that they don't want in the city. So they move out to the rural areas. And that's the reason why there are more animals there. And because before the cities, before they became multicultural, they had all white people living in the cities as well, and there were less animals in the city. So I don't think this is down to white people forcing this on blacks, thinking that what they want to do is put all the black people in an area with less animals because that's going to have a negative effect on them. I guess just because of this hatred of the color of the skin, white people wanted to deprive them from animals as well. And we're being told this, of course, by a scientific publication, so it can't be wrong. It's peer-reviewed. It's been reviewed by other blue-haired, horn-rimmed glasses-wearing females, and they seem to think that this is all okay. What do you make of what they say here about the physical health of people who live in such deprived neighborhoods, Grandpa?
I always wonder who funds these studies, you know? I mean, somebody's getting paid to do this. These people aren't doing it for free. And yes, you're exactly right. I mean, here in the U.S., the vast majority of people, you know, even if they live in the city, they actually live in the suburbs. And if you go to the suburbs, you will notice there's a lot more grass. There's a lot more trees, even though they might have all of these houses stacked in there and whatnot. There's still going to be it's a very, you know, undeniable presence of more greenery, you know. So even though, yeah, there's a lot of people living there is more, you know, grass, shrubs, things such as this, where if you go into the inner city, the more urbanized area, it's nothing but cement. Of course there's no wildlife there. What are they going to eat? You know, what are the herbivores going to eat? There's nothing there but concrete and broken glass, aside from grackles, of course, because they eat a McDonald's French fry and drink the water that drips off the air conditioner. They can survive. If there's a nuclear bomb ever goes off in the city, as soon as you can go back in there, you're going to find grackles. They are the ultimate survival bird. This nonsense to where these people, instead of just looking with common sense and being able to say, oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense, they have to find racism in everything, to the point that this is comical. We try to be lighthearted on the Friday installment of the Daily Nationalist. I mean, that's just kind of our theme here. I proposed a story to Sven, and he's like, that's way too serious. We got to keep it light. We got to keep it lighthearted. And so we try to end off the week on a light note. So luckily, we never run out of source material, because you know these people are just such a meme. They literally find racism in anything. It's like I have a running joke, you know, because, you know, obviously nationalist people such as us, you know, we're not like what they portray us. And I have a running joke IRL, you know, to where like I will make jokes about any random thing happening, you know, like, I don't know, the wind blew the trash can over and blew across the street. I got to go out in the wind and pick it up. And I say, look at this. It's blown. My trash can is across the street. Now I got to go out there and pick it up. Personally, I think this is the fault of the Jews. It's a running joke because obviously that's absurd. But you see, these people take that running joke and act like it's serious. There's less animals in an area that's nothing but concrete and asphalt. It must be because of racism. And they're doing this with a straight face, obviously getting paid for it, getting a peered reviewed paper done on it. When this is every bit as absurd as saying it's because of the Jews, my trash can is blown across the street. It should be treated as a joke. And yet here it's being treated as the science.
Well, I think, you know, that's how they get the funding, isn't it? They say we're going to look for racism somewhere, and that's when they get the funding. Then, of course, when they find racism there, they get even more funding. And that's what all this funding is for. If they were to say, well, we're going to look for somewhere where there isn't any racism, they're not going to get any funding for that. Well, the findings were published in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, a peer-reviewed scientific journal. It noted that the practice of redlining essentially drove out the woodland creatures from minority neighborhoods, leading to negative effects on the mental and physical well-being of minority residents. And what is this redlining? Was it chasing after the animals with a red paintbrush or something like that? Well, no. Redlining is a discriminatory practice in which financial institutions, insurance companies, and other businesses draw lines on a map to define areas where they will or will not provide services, such as mortgages, insurances, or loans. So what are they saying there? Is it because these financial institutions would not give a mortgage to the raccoons? Is that why they ran away? Well, it seems to me this redlining, which is based on financial institutions, it would have been based upon predicting whether people are going to actually be able to pay back the loan. And that would probably go on their credit history, I would suggest. Perhaps they would look at averages. Perhaps they would look at whether people in that area, whether they had all actually paid back their credit card loans. And if they hadn't, then obviously they're going to be a risk. And there's obviously going to be some sensible things here. I mean, financial institutions are not going to miss out on where there's money to be made, aren't they? And if they're going to be loaning people money, it's because they're expecting to get money back. So I mean, what they're effectively saying here is that the reason why these places weren't invested in, why they weren't lent any money, is because of this discriminatory practice, which is redlining. But the way that they put it here, I mean, they're effectively saying that it's this redlining that drove out the woodland creatures, like literally physically drove out the woodland creatures, because the people that were living there were a financial risk. Essentially, is what is being implied here. Grandpa, what do you know about this redlining and the effect that it's had on all the animals?
It just gets more and more absurd. It's just, this is why people that have any common sense have no kind of faith in the science. I mean, we're at this point now, like if you see something and it's presented as, you know, this is a very scientific thing, you can just automatically be skeptical because of nonsense such as this. And as long as this kind of nonsense continues to get funded, continues to be published in quote unquote peer-reviewed journals, then the science is going to continue to lose credibility. There's no other way to look at it. So we're supposed to think that this redlining, which you've pretty much described very well, is somehow the reason. Like you said, well, what? You know, the foxes, the raccoons, the possums, they check the area. They're looking at a general area's credit score. We're not going to go in there. I mean, this is, they're taking something and applying it here that obviously to any average person with any modicum of common sense can look at it and say, well, that's ridiculous. What the hell does that have to do with it? Because of the racism. Yeah, I mean, this is literally the joke of everything can be explained if you just say, well, it's because it's racist. You don't have to use your brain. You don't have to use any critical thinking whatsoever. You just say, it's racist. That explains it. It's racist. Redlining is nothing more than the fact that if you go into a neighborhood and you go, hey, how come there's not any big stores here? Well, because they have lots of gang violence, drive-by shootings, and every store in this that's ever set up in this area gets robbed. So they don't set up stores there. And when a corporate outfit is looking at, oh, we're going to build some new stores, they look at these areas and say, well, the track record for these areas is you're going to get robbed and your employees may get killed if we open a store there. We're not going to do it. It's that plain and that simple. This is not, you know, it's not real hard. And of course, the hypocrisy of it, not that I guess it matters, because this is all virtue signaling. These very same people that publish these reports with all their virtue signaling and hand waving about racism. I can assure you, if you took these people that did this report and put them in a car and they were driving down the freeway and somebody, they didn't have the map on, or perhaps the map was on. And then in any way, they took this exit. And they realize that by taking this exit, all of a sudden they found themselves in one of these neighborhoods. These people would freak out and get the hell out of there as quickly as they could. You know, just like anybody else. You look around and you go, like, we don't belong here. You know, you look around and the people standing around the street corner giving you ugly looks, like, what you doing here? And they're going to get out of there as quickly as they can. And yet they sit there and they hand wave and they say the animals are racist because they're checking the map. They know they're not supposed to be here. Bad credit scores, lots of drive-by shootings, not going to be here. But it's all explained by racism. Why they themselves, at the end of the day, if they took the wrong exit and went into one of these neighborhoods, they themselves would get the hell out of there as quickly as they can. These people are always, I mean, they always are doing these things from very safe, you know, where they can stand up there and posture. None of these people who will sit there and make this big proclamation and denouncing of the racism and they claim that everything's explained by racism. None of them, when they go out with their friends on Saturday night, are going to go down to these neighborhoods when they go out. They're going to go to some nice little safe preppy type of area downtown, you know, where all the hipsters go. That's where they're going to go. They're not going to go down to the hood to, you know, I don't know, the Bloody Knife Lounge or whatever the hell it's called and hang out with their friends, because they know they're not going to last very long because they don't belong there. It's not their neighborhood and are going to be welcome there. And yet they love to sit in their very safe areas and condemn everybody else for racism while they posture with good people. And now not even the animals are safe.
Well, I mean, what are they saying here? Are they saying that these people actually had good credit ratings and the banks just refused to loan to them and make money out of them? And because of that, that's the reason why there aren't so many animals there? I mean, what they're effectively saying, they're saying, no, it was because they just hated the color of the skin. That's why these companies didn't invest. And the secondary result of that was that all these animals left. Well, this practice of redlining was most commonly used in the 20th century and was based on racial and ethnic discrimination. And I would have to question that. I would have to question that and say, so it's not built on a bad credit score then. It's simply based upon they just hated the color of the skin. That's what they're saying. Financial companies just hated the color of the skin. And they missed out on all this opportunity to make so much money from these financial instruments there. That is what they're saying here. Redlining resulted in a lack of investment and neglect in minority neighborhoods, leading to persistent poverty and limited access to financial services and investment. So not giving them these loans that they were going to be unable to pay back led them into persistent poverty. So they're saying that what should really happen is they should really be given these loans and they shouldn't actually have to pay them back. That's what they're implying. Although redlining was banned in the United States by the Fair Housing Act of 1968, its legacy continues to shape urban landscapes and communities today. So even though this was 50 years ago, they stopped doing this and they forced the banks to loan money to people that were going to be unlikely to pay it all back. The animals still haven't come back. We saw the end result of this, actually loaning out the money to people that were going to be unable to pay it back. In 2008, I think, is when all of this came to a head. All these mortgages that have been given out to people that weren't able to pay them back. It caused a huge crash in the financial system, and we had all of this quantitative easing. That all came about from giving loans to people that were going to be unable to pay them back. They seem to have forgotten that, and they're saying here that all of that, it just pales into comparison because these animals haven't come back anyway. Even though they turned this around, they got rid of this redlining law over 50 years ago, the animals still have not come back. Grandpa, what do you think might make those animals come back, and what do you think of what's being said here?
These scientific studies are always so unscientific. The assertion is made here: the legacy continues to shape urban landscapes and communities today. That's just a naked assertion. There's no proof of that. They can't say we did this. You know, here's the proof that that's the case. They're looking at this end result and they're saying, well, that's why. Now, that can be quickly disproven. If you go back, and there's plenty, you know, you can look at pictures, you can read about it. Black neighborhoods were better prior to 1968. They're worse now. That is an undeniable fact. So to say, well, you see, the reason there's not more wildlife, this is a legacy of how bad things were prior to 1968. That's absolutely provable to be bullshit. I mean, black neighborhoods were, in every metric, every measurable way, were better prior to 1968. Anybody who argues otherwise is just being blatantly dishonest. So you can't say, well, things are so bad now, it's a legacy of how bad they were before 1968 when things were better. The legacy here is these liberal policies have made things progressively worse. And instead of saying, yeah, you know, what we've done is actually make black neighborhoods worse than they ever were, instead of being honest with that, they say, well, it would be even worse now if we hadn't done something. And the reason they're not better is because of racism. See, it's a legacy of before we got in there, like you say, 50 some odd years ago, and changed things. The reason they're worse now is because we just didn't get it done sooner. But like I say, any honest review, this is supposed to be peer reviewed. Which tells you that's all nonsense, by the way. When somebody points at something and says, it's legit, look, it's peer-reviewed. If there was any legitimate peer-reviewing going on, anybody reviewing this would say, well, now, wait a minute. You've made this assertion that this is due to a legacy of how things were prior to 1968, and it's observable reality that these neighborhoods were much better for the people living there prior to 1968. than they are now. So you're basically contradicting your own point if you use any sort of a truly, like, I don't know, what do I want to say, impartial scientific observation. But you see this time and again, you have these things put out. They say this is a scientific study. There's no science here. There's just naked assertions, and everything is justified by the predetermined outcome, which, of course, in this case is racism.
Well, when did they actually measure the number of animals that were there originally? In these areas to see that they haven't now come back. I mean, that's the allegation they're making, is the animals haven't come back. So somehow they managed to know how many animals there were 50 years ago, but it doesn't actually tell us how. Well, University of Manitoba biologist Colin Garraway and Chloe Schmidt from the German Center for Integrative Biodiversity Research conducted the wildlife study and found that systemic racism has had lasting effects on the structure of cities. The authors explain that various factors such as densely populated areas, the presence of roads and railways, nighttime lights, and increased human land use may contribute to the lower diversity of wildlife in non-white neighborhoods. And that's the answer that we have there, isn't it? This is in the city. Roads and railways, nighttime lights, increased human land use. That's the reason why there are less animals there. But they're saying that no, that's all wrong. The actual reason is systemic racism. That's what is to blame, systemic racism. And we don't really have a proper definition of systemic racism, but it seems to be the same thing as institutionalized racism, which is just everything has this racism. Even when you can't find it, there is some racism in there somewhere. Even when you've got diversity quotas that are operating in universities and in jobs, and you've got all this promotion of diversity and people have to have a certain number of black and non-white employees, even though we still have all of that, we still have this systemic racism. And the end result of all of this is that there are less animals in these non-white neighborhoods. It's just incredible that they can say that. They can say that it's systemic racism that had this lasting effect on the structure of cities. And yet, in the very next sentence, they give the real reason for why there aren't so many animals there. And it's all the things that you're going to find in a city: roads and railways, nighttime lights, and increased human land use. But they're basically saying that the reason for that is just because white people hate the color of the skin. You know, that's why there are roads and railways there. That's why there are nighttime lights. That's why there's increasing human land use in a city. You know, if they went out and measured what it was like in the country, they would find that there are a lot more animals there. And they might find a part of the country that doesn't have white people in it and doesn't have black people in it either. And that's going to have even more animals in it. It's just incredible to me that they can blame systemic racism in one sentence without defining what that is. And then in the next sentence, they can explain that there are these various factors that actually caused this. But the cause of it was racism. You know, it can't possibly be town planners wanting to enlarge the size of the city, wanting to build new roads or railways. It can't be because the people needed to get about. They can't have needed transport. They can't have needed light at nighttime and things like that. It was basically just because of this systemic racism that all of that was built. What do you make of their logic here, Grandpa? It has a lot to be desired, I think.
You know, the systemic racism blew my trash can across the road. I mean, that's all it is. It's just, like I say, if this was like 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and this was an essay written for a high school class, the person would get an F, you know, because, you know, all of the contradictions here and the ridiculousness that you can sit here and just use systemic racism, you know, without any proof that that's the case. Now, this may come as shocking news, but here in the U.S., black people have the freedom to live wherever they want to. If a black person wants to go move to the suburbs with the white people and they are financially able to do so, there's no laws. The white people don't meet them on the street and burn a cross in their yard and tell them, get the hell out, screaming racial epithets at them. They're free to live wherever they want to. So if they're living in these areas, for whatever reason, that's where they're living. You know, I mean, if they have the means, they will live. And they can live. They're free to live wherever they want to. It really strikes me, of course, beyond the main striking thing is how very, quote, very unscientific the entire thing is. Like I say, this thing really shouldn't even rate a passing grade in a high school class, but yet it's supposedly this is some sort of peer-reviewed scientific study. The other thing that's really kind of insulting about the whole thing, and these people are so, they lack so much self-awareness that they don't realize this, is it's really infantilizes black people. It makes them like babies. You see, we have to take care of them, you see, because they can't choose to go live somewhere else. You see, they're always the victim. They're like little children without any ability to make any choices for themselves. You see, they need us. They need us to be their mommy. They need us to take care of them. Now, obviously, I can't speak for black people. I don't pretend to speak for black people. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say, if I was a black person, I would find that extremely, because these are always, these days, like 99% of the time, there's going to be a white person, more than likely a white woman, that's right at the heart of it. And I personally would find that insulting. No, I really would. I think anybody, if I was a actual, true, practicing scientist, if I saw this in a peer-reviewed scientific publication, I would find that insulting. I find the whole thing insulting to everybody involved. All this is an exercise in virtue signaling. This is all of this is. There's no science involved here. There's no helping people of color here. It's insulting to people of color. Anybody with any kind of, just looking at it objectively, this is insulting to black people. It's insulting and destructive to the scientific practice, because there's no science here. This is just an account to somebody's. This is a scientific paper that's really, if you get to the heart of it, it's nothing more than a lengthy Twitter post by one of these people. And yet we're supposed to be told it's science. It's that's just another science fan. Clown world is just, things just continue to cease functioning in clown world. There's no real science. There's none of these. There's no meaning to this. Everything has been now devolved to virtue signaling social media posts, and we're supposed to take this seriously.
They don't credit them with any agency whatsoever, do they? You know, as you pointed out, they're not living in segregated areas now. You know, they complain that the animals haven't come back, but why didn't the people that were living in these neighborhoods that were supposed to be so terrible, why didn't they move out? As you just pointed out, Grandpa, if they didn't want to live there, why didn't they move out? Nobody is keeping them there, just the same as nobody is keeping the animals away, but they don't want to look at it in that way. The pair analyzed publicly available archived genetic data from thousands of animals belonging to various species in order to show the connection between the diversity of wildlife and the racial makeup of neighborhoods. And it found that there was a far greater variety of species in predominantly white neighborhoods. I'm surprised that didn't get accused of racism, actually, showing connections between diversity of wildlife and the racial makeup of the neighborhoods. They're saying there's a far greater variety of species in predominantly white neighborhoods. I mean, do they mean neighborhoods or do they mean suburbs or do they mean farms? I mean, white people tend to keep chickens and they tend to have a lot of pets. Perhaps that was being included in here. I'm not sure whether black people tend to have that many pets. I know some of them do, but I don't think it's that much used by them, particularly Muslims. Muslims don't like dogs. They don't like having pets. It's pretty much white people and probably some Japanese, maybe Chinese. They're about the only people in the world who really do seem to like actually having pets. So that may be a large part of this. It may be that they're including dogs and cats and that sort of thing in there, in amongst the wildlife as well. But the authors of the study claim that systemic racism has effectively altered the demographics of urban wildlife populations in a way that shapes their evolution and impacts their presence in cities. And that's incredible, that, isn't it? Systemic racism has effectively altered the demography. I mean, we've got this replacement immigration that's going on at the moment that is altering our demography. You would think people would be concerned about that, but no, they're more concerned about the demography of the urban wildlife populations. And what the authors are saying here is they're very concerned about the evolution, something which we don't actually observe happening. It's just a theory, and it goes back thousands of years. So perhaps they're concerned about how the urban wildlife are going to be in thousands of years' time. Or are they talking about the way that black people evolve? Well, the pair argue that the lack of urban biodiversity has resulted in a negative impact on human well-being, leading to a complete absence of nature in neighborhoods that are predominantly non-white. So, I mean, I would look at that and I would say, well, it seems to me as if they've chased all the animals away in these non-white neighborhoods. I'd be surprised if they don't actually have rats there. But it says here there's a complete absence of nature in these neighborhoods of color, I guess we could call them. But as we've already pointed out, well, they could always move out, couldn't they? If they don't like it. I would suggest that there's a complete absence of nature there because they wanted to get rid of the wildlife that were there because they like the urban living. And quite a lot there to get into, Grandpa. What are your thoughts on this?
The entire thing can be summed up like this. I mean, I'm going to give an honest, like, overview of this. Newsflash, animals don't live in the city. And the reason must be because racism. Like, that is it. This, the whole summary of the study, the whole everything from this study is the shocking news. We needed a study to find this out, by the way. We needed scientific research to discover that animals don't live in the city. We had to have this. And of course, the conclusion is always predetermined. The reason has to be because of racism. It can't be because, I don't know, there's a lack of foliage for animals to eat on, you know, that eat grass and things such as this. There's going to be a lack of trees. There's no more animals present, you know, because it's got this movement here where some of the cities, they're renovating the very heart of downtown, and they're renovating these high-rise buildings and making upscale apartments, and people are moving into them, predominantly white people. Those white people living in these high-rise apartments in these now new trendy downtown areas, they don't have any more wildlife there than the black areas in these other parts of the city. The whole thing is summed up by, look, animals don't live in the city. Who would have ever thought, you know, who would have ever thought that animals don't live in the city? We had to have a scientific study to tell us, and more importantly, we had to have a scientific study to tell us that the reason animals don't live in an area that's nothing but concrete, asphalt, and buildings is because of racism. And this is what passes for science. I don't take anything. If it's presented as science, look, credentialism, science says. All you got to do is point to some absurdity like this. This is, if somebody got paid to do this, somebody quote unquote researched this to come to the breathtaking, groundbreaking conclusion, animals don't live in the city. Well, no kidding. See, I didn't say what I was going to say. No kidding. Animals don't live in the city. And to then attach to that, the racism blew their trash can across the road. The answer, the reason why animals don't want to live where there's nothing for them to eat, there's no safe shelter for them, there's no foliage for them to hide from predators, and the reason they don't live there is not because of any of those reasons. It's because the animals themselves are practicing systemic racism. And we are supposed to take this seriously.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's not your common or garden racism. It's systemic racism here. But one thing that I am wondering here, do black people like having gardens, or would they prefer to have a yard, which is much easier to take care of? And it may not just be black people that prefer to have a yard than a garden. It may be the white people that live in the city would prefer to have that as well. But what they've done here is, I think, is they've gone to the areas that are outside the city where the black people don't want to live because they want the facilities, and the white people live and they've got more gardens there. And they've said, well, there's more wildlife there than in this area in the city here where the people don't even have room for gardens, because you don't have room for a garden in a big city, not unless you've got a lot of money, of course. Well, the report calls for reforms to be made in city planning in the hopes that a more equitable distribution of natural habitat will also lead to increased racial diversity. And that's interesting there, isn't it? So they want the city planners, what are they going to do? I mean, most of the city is already built up. Equitable distribution, they want to take the areas where the white people live and then give that to the black people. That seems to be what they're saying here, because they want to see increased racial diversity. So they want to see multiculturalism. They want to see all these areas mixed up, because of course that has worked so well, hasn't it? Mixing white people together with black people. As you pointed out, Grandpa, there was these neighborhoods before we actually had this forced integration. These neighborhoods had much less crime, and their happiness was of a much higher measure before we had all of this forced diversity, which is what they want to see here. Equitable distribution of natural habitat leading to an increased racial diversity. And of course, what they also mean there is increased wildlife diversity. The authors also suggest the need for increased racial diversity in the fields of ecology and evolution to address such blind spots in research and environmental justice. And I think this is a little bit insulting, really. I mean, they're saying, well, what we need to do is we need to have more black people involved in ecology and evolution, because only the black people are going to be pointing out such ridiculous things as systemic racism are causing all the animals to leave and not come back. I mean, it's always the same, isn't it? They always seem to think that whatever these problems have, what they could be solved with is just more diversity in those fields. And what they're effectively saying is that if you get more diversity in there, diversity is just going to be interested in things that affect diversity, not going to be interested in anything that affects anybody else. So the most bizarre thing is, as we pointed out, it probably is white people that are actually doing this. It is white people that are concerned about trying to find these solutions to these problems that they create themselves. But it always comes down to this, doesn't it? There's always going to be a call for more racial diversity in this field, as if that's going to solve the problem. I mean, they call for more racial diversity in the police, and that's apparently going to solve the problem of black people trying to flee the police getting shot. And of course, what happens when you have an all-black police force trying to arrest a black criminal? Well, he ends up dying anyway. That's what happened recently. And strangely enough, white supremacy is still going to get the blame, even though you've got all black police officers, and they end up beating a black guy that was speeding. They end up beating him to death, and white people get the blame for that. And I think we can see there that just adding more black people to something, it's not going to solve these problems. Adding more black people to the fields of ecology and evolution are not going to solve this problem either. I think you're always going to end up with less animals living in the concreted over parts of the city than you will have in the places that have gardens in them. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on all of this today?
It's striking how in a lot of these instances, they wave this around while claiming to, you know, like I said, they infantilize black people, treat them like they're babies and they have to be watched over. It's insulting. It's very insulting, but also they're used as cover. They're used as camouflage. They throw these things out. They throw this nonsense out, and it's always a distraction. Look, every single liberal based policy that was done over the decades in the name of improving the lives of black people has had the opposite effect. All of this stuff, they keep people stirred up. They constantly are whipping people up against one another. It's part of this is to distract from the reality. This is why history is not taught anymore. To distract from the reality that every one of these liberal policies have made things worse. As I've already pointed out, before this 1968 Act, black neighborhoods were in every metric, every measure, better. They passed these laws forcing integration. The black schools, before these laws were passed, black schools were remarkably better than what they are now. Forget that. Black schools, if you went into the 1950s in the segregated South, black schools, I would wager black schools were better then than the average probably white school is now, because education has just gone down. It's continued. They've just lowered, gotten worse and worse. Every single one of these policies that was done in the name of we're helping these people has, by every metric, made these people's lives worse. They've made their living conditions worse. They've made their education outcomes worse. Every single one. Now, you know, you can argue just because they were somehow misguided policies, but at some point in time, you have to wonder, when you look at the overall outcome of every one of these policies, you know, you're left with the question, you know, is it just misplaced good intentions, or was it by design? Because it's not undeniable that at the end of the day, every one of these policies that was done in the name of making these people's lives better, by every single metric, it's made them worse.
And a good point to bring up there with these schools that you're saying there, that the schools have got worse. I just saw a news report yesterday, 23 schools in Baltimore. Everybody's just failed at maths. Nobody can do any maths. 23 schools, not just one pupil or two pupils. 23 schools. Baltimore parents demand action after 23 schools report no math proficiency, systematically failing. We certainly had no problems like that when we had all black schools. Of course, I'm not saying this to incite hatred against blacks. I just think black people are better off teaching and living amongst black people, and white people are better off living amongst and teaching to white people. That would solve all of this discrimination. And nobody could then blame systemic racism for a lack of wildlife. They would only have themselves to blame for whatever went on within their society. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.